If you would turn to Psalms 57, please, our church reading for today. Church scripture reading, amen. This is the Psalm of David, as God delivers David from the evil Saul, amen. Look at starting with verse 1 as we read all together. Amen. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusts in you. Yes, in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Verse 2, "I will cry unto God most high, unto God who performs all things for me." Amen. 3, "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him who would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." Verse 4, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them who are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword." Verse 5, "Be you exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." 6, "They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah." Verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Verse 8, "Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early." 9, "I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto you among the nations." 10, "For your mercy is great unto the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds." Number 11, "Be you exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above the earth." Amen. I said amen, but praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you would stretch forth your hands this way as I pray for myself this morning. Thank you. Father, Lord, I just thank you for who you are, Lord. Father, I pray that your grace, your mercy, your strength, your power, your presence, your anointing be upon my life, Lord God. Help me to preach and teach your word according to your word, Father, that it would be upon my life, Lord God. And Lord, help us to hear your word and let it be planted deep within our hearts and lives this morning. We give you praise. We give you honor that no one can steal the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit." Amen. I want you to turn to Lamentations chapter 3, page 1356. Lamentations. You know, Lamentations is not a book that most people refer to much. Some people have even asked me, "Is that in the Bible?" You know, and that's just, you know, how it is. You know, some books of the Bible are more known than other books of the Bible. And that, there's nothing wrong with that. Just remember, God says to read the whole counsel of the Word of God. Get the whole Word into your heart and life. Don't leave it. It only has 5 chapters in it. But Lamentations. This book is not often referred to, but it's in the Old Testament and is the book of the prophets. It comes after Jeremiah and right before Ezekiel. But look at verse 23 of Lamentations. It says this, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I have hope in him. Mm. It's talking about, the first part is talking about the mercy of God. They are new every morning. The mercy of God. When you go down at night to sleep and you wake up in the morning, it's new every morning. Which he's just trying to say that his mercy never runs out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that his mercy never runs out. But he is a merciful God. But it says this, great is your faithfulness. The faithfulness of God towards us. The faithfulness of God does not rest upon the affairs of the world. The faithfulness of God does not rest upon the affairs of our lives either. The faithfulness of God does not depend on anything else except him. And it says that his faithfulness is great. We can rest assured that when we go to bed at night, he is a faithful God to us. Ooh. We can rest assured when we wake up in the morning that his faithfulness is great towards us in the morning. We can rest assured when we go on our jobs or we go to work, we go to jobs, work, school, whatever it is, that our God is a great God and great is his faithfulness towards us. That we as children of Almighty God, we don't have to wonder, will God be there for us? He's always there. He's always on time. He's a faithful God to us in the morning. He's a faithful God to us at night. He's faithful, faithful, faithful is he. Amen. We can rest in that. We can know as children of the living God, from the time we got saved, from the time we gave our hearts to him, that he is a faithful God to us. That no matter what we go through in life, that the Spirit of Almighty God will never depart from us. Ooh, my Lord. As long as our hearts, we look to him. He will never depart from his people. It says, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. Not just great things, but mighty things. He's a God that's on time. He's a God that meets every need. He's a God that is faithful to us. Faithful is he. The enemy will try to tell you that God is only faithful in the good times in your life. But God is faithful also in the good, in the middle, and in the bad. No matter what we go through, he's faithful to us. That he will do what he said he would do. He will keep his promises unto us. Because he is faithful. It says the prophet Jeremiah wrote this book. In expressing his grief over the tragic destruction of Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, the great city Jerusalem. The great city of Jerusalem is where the new Jerusalem will come down at the end of all time in Revelations 23 or so. When the new Jerusalem comes down and sets his headquarters upon the earth and we're with him. It's Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem. That is a city that God has put into effect upon the earth. That's a city he's chosen. Not to say that any other city is not good. We have great cities in America. Great cities all over the world, whatever. But I tell you what, God has chosen that place to be the final resting place for every one of us. That new Jerusalem. My Lord, where he will rule and reign till eternity. My Lord. my Lord. But that, it says Jerusalem was destroyed. And can you imagine, as the prophet Jeremiah, a prophet now. You might say, what's a prophet? A prophet is one that says, thus saith the Lord. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. This is, and even sometimes when it will happen. Whatever. You might say, are there still prophets today? Yes, there are. Yes, there are. There's still prophets today. But usually a true prophet of God will not go around saying they're a prophet. I've gotten a dime a dozen of cards from people. I mean, you can have that printed up anywhere you want to print it up. But being a prophet, and you, oh Lord, I just kind of like. I'm not saying that you can't have cards. No. You know, as a pastor, you know, you're giving out whatever, you know, because people want to know, whatever. But you got to be careful. But there are still prophets today. The fivefold ministry is still in effect. Just because the world has gone crazy and people have gone crazy, the fivefold ministry is still there for the what? The perfecting of the saints. But for the perfecting of us. He's given that to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. They're still all around. Giving out what God wants them to give out to the people. You see, God said he'd never leave his people without a shepherd, my Lord. He's the great shepherd. I'm the under shepherd unto him. But he's in charge. And that's how it should be in every one of our homes, that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is in charge. That he says what happens and what will go on. That the power of Almighty God is resting upon our homes, leading and guiding us and helping us to do his will. How faithful is our God? How faithful is our King towards us? And it was a hard thing for Jeremiah to look out upon the destruction of Jerusalem. You might say, well, why did God allow this? Sometimes God will allow tragic things to happen to get the attention of his people. Yes. I'm telling you. 9/11, that's a hard thing, people. I remember, was that 9/11 on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? I don't remember. Whatever. It was a Wednesday? A Tuesday? It was a Tuesday. Because I remember we had church on Wednesday. And there were people I hadn't seen in years. I wasn't here. We didn't have it here. We didn't have a church here. We didn't have this church here. It was somewhere else. I remember that Wednesday we went to church. And there were people there I hadn't seen in years. And they were just brokenhearted. And I said, Lord, and he has to allow things to happen. And you know, things happen. Man is evil sometimes. You know, without God, man is evil. Even with God sometimes. There's some stirring in the pot of evil. It's sad, but you see, sometimes it takes tragedy to bring about people's lives and hearts that they will look to God. Because you see, God is looking at the big picture. He's looking at your birth. And he's looking at your death. He knows all that. He knows when we were born and we're here. But he's looking at the death also. And he's saying, they have to accept me. Jesus talking about. And without him, we know the place is not good, called hell. But with God is a promised land called heaven. And so he will let tragic things sometimes come. Because sometimes we start to slip away a little bit and we start to look to other things besides the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We start to look at how hard we work for that money, how what we did. And that, you know, and God will give us the energy and the power and the strength to accomplish. But it's always from him. He is the one that gives it to us. He can, look, let me tell you this. He can snuff us out in an instant if he wants to. But we trust in him that he gives us the breath of life to keep on going and doing. He's faithful to us. He's faithful. You might say, well, Pastor, I've gone through some hard things. Well, hey, welcome to the, welcome. Welcome to life. Welcome to the world. Well, I've gone through some hard things, and I don't think I should have to go through that. Well, God knows, and whatever. Sometimes, you know, God has to allow it, but, you know, it's because sometimes we're disobedient. Amen. That's right. You know, disobedient to what God was wanting to show us and do. And sometimes in disobedience, God will have to allow so our hearts can turn back to him. And through this tragedy of Jerusalem being destroyed, how God was wanting to bring back Israel unto him. You know, to this day, they still don't recognize Israel as a nation, does not recognize Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Or they don't even recognize the New Testament. The Old Testament, yes, but not the New. Now, you might say, well, there's no Jews said. Yes, there are some. But as a unit of people, no, they don't believe. And so we know this, that God is faithful no matter what happens in our lives and hearts, that God is faithful to bring us through. Lamentations describes the destruction of Jerusalem and its people. Jeremiah spared his readers little detail as he recalls the horrible tragedy. But you know, he writes this, under the unction and power of the Holy Ghost, verse 23 and 24, they are new every morning, talking about the mercies of God. And he still says, great is the faithfulness of God. Yes. You see, can you say that when you've gone through a hard time? Can you just stand up and say, great is my God, and his mercies are new every morning, and he's faithful unto me. He's a faithful God no matter what. Amen. See, can we say that from a hospital bed? We sure can't say that from a coffin, but I understand that. But, you know, but can we say that no matter what we go through, that God is a faithful God? Because let me tell you, every one of us has seen the miracle working power of our God. When you needed something and you prayed and you sought God and you said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. And God comes through for you. How faithful is he to you and I? And that we should never drift from the truth of the gospel's sake, but we should always stand firm in what God has placed before us and putting our faith and trust in him and what he has done for us. He's a faithful God. Faithful is he. We don't have to fear the future. We don't have to fear today, and we certainly don't have to fear tomorrow or last year. But we can look to God and know that he is in charge, that he is faithful to the church body of Christ, because he's died on the cross of Calvary. He sent his son for us, that he will take care of us. He will keep us in the future. He will take control. He will move. He will do as we place our trust in him. My God, what we have, God can take away in an instant if he wants to. That's up to him. But faithful is he. And even through tragedy, how faithful is our God in us and through us. Lamentations, the faithfulness of God. He is a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. He is reliable. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. He never breaks his promises. He is dependable, my Lord. And he is consistent with his word. The God we worship is a faithful God. You know, there's a song that Thomas Chisholm wrote. And you know, and probably you know this. When he wrote this song, he was 75 years of age. And it says this, he says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Psalms 36, verse 5 says this. See if he brings up. Your mercies, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Great is your faithfulness. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. That means it's far above us. You and I can trust him. You and I can trust him with today. We can trust him with our spouses. We can trust him with our children. We can trust him with our churches. We can trust him with ourselves, my Lord, because he's so dependable. It reaches to the clouds. That means it's far above anything we could ever imagine, my Lord, what God can do and what he can do in our hearts and in our lives. Joe, I don't think you're going to have this because I was just reading about this in Acts chapter 27. If you would turn to Acts 27. And if you could just pull it up whenever you can. Verse Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I've been reading the book of Acts. And I tell you, it just... and really is the Acts of God. Look at verse 1, and we're going to skip down, and I'll just tell you, Joe. We're going to read verse 1, verse 10, verse 11, 22 to 25, and verse 31. Here we see a great miracle, a great miracle. How faithful God is, people. You know, we can read throughout the scriptures of the faithfulness of God. How can we lack in knowing that he won't take care of us? He took care of the prophets. He took care of women. He took care of children. He took care of men. He took care of the body of believers. He took care of the faithful is he to them, as we read in scripture. Faithful will be God to you. Faithful is he. Faithful is he. No matter what happens in our lives, no matter where we go, as the Spirit of God is upon our hearts and upon our lives, God is faithful. No matter what tragedy happens to be at our door, things happen. Don't ever, when you're witnessing to somebody, don't ever say nothing bad. Don't say, well, you know, with God, nothing bad is going to happen to you. Don't say that, because that's not truth. It's not truth. It's not true. We're painting a picture of just all glory, all riches, and all, and that's not truth. That's why when something comes around their way, they fall like magnets. That's why we have so many people. You know, you have people leaving church to church after church after church. I'm telling you, in droves. Because of the falsehood. They think, well, I get saved and I'm water baptized and whatever, that, you know, nothing bad's going to happen. That's not truth. And you try to bring people back into reality and say, I'm sorry. But that's not truth. Things will happen. But I can guarantee this, that God will be with you. Oh, my Lord. Now you're telling truth. I can guarantee one more thing, that God will be faithful to you. That he will not allow more to happen to you than what he wants or what you can handle. It might mean handling as we fall on our knees, but I tell you what, we will handle it. I was listening to a pastor this morning. He was talking about when he was pastoring a church, and he had a guy gets saved and he was in the mafia. Ooh. And so he got saved and he was in his church. And one Sunday morning, you know, he got there early and the pastor was praying and he said, "Pastor, I heard you've been having some problem with some people." He said, "Yes, but I said, I know God can handle it." He said, "I'm just telling you this, let me know. And I have people that can handle them." And so he said, I laughed and laughed and said, I couldn't tell them anything, you know, because they were going to handle them. So you never know what's going on. You never know, man. And, you know, the guy was just being who he is. You know, God was changing him. But, you know, he's still, you know, God needs to change some things in us. God is a faithful God. Look at this. Paul sails for Rome. Look. Look at verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Now, let me just tell you this story a little bit. Here we see Paul was taken as a prisoner. And they were going to another country, another land. And they were getting on this boat. And they had a centurion that was over him. That means this guy was like the guy that kept control of all these people that were prisoners on that boat. And it says this in verse 10. It says, "And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage." Now this is Paul telling the sailors, the guys that were in authority, Julius, the guy that's over him, "not only of the lading," which is the cargo and ship, "but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Now here we see Paul's getting on this ship, and he's getting on this ship with all the other prisoners. Paul, the apostle Paul that wrote 13 books of the New Testament, was in prison. In today's society, today's Christians, he shouldn't be in prison, huh? Oh, no, we don't do that. You know, we don't have that as a Christian. Oh, no, you're better than that. But in those days, the apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, was now in prison and getting on a ship. And the Spirit of God talks to him and says, "Look, tell them don't go on this journey because I see what's coming. Tell them that they're going to lose everything. They're going to lose it all." And he goes up to Julius the centurion, and the centurion tells Paul, "Look, my owner says we're to go and we're going." Rejects God, rejects what the man of God says, and does what the man of the earth wants him to do, his owner. Now look at this. They get into the ship, hey, and they're going on their voyage. Now look at this. It says a hurricane came up. Hurricane came up. That means they were in that ship. They were going to the other land, and all of a sudden this hurricane comes, and God knew it was going to be there. See, God knows the future. We need to listen. Listen when God speaks, or listen maybe, you know, when somebody tells you something. You might say, well, you know, but God knows how to lead his people. God knows what to do. And so here we see Paul is telling him, let's not go. Wait a while. And they reject the man of God. They reject that. Look, and they go, and all of a sudden there is a storm, and then the storm of their life. A hurricane. They didn't have Channel 3 and Channel 10 to tell them what's coming. They didn't have the Weather Channel to look at. They didn't have our phones to see when the rain's coming at the right time. And most of the time it might be correct, but sometimes it's not. And that makes people fearful. That's a tactic of the enemy, looking at that phone sometimes. It brings fear. Got to be careful. Got to be careful of that. But God spoke to Paul, and look at this. They're in the middle of all this, and it says in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them who sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Now here we see the angel, can you imagine, which is Jesus. It's not just any little angel in the heavens. It's capitalized as the angel of God. That's Jesus that came, stood next to Paul and said, look, tell them, everybody that stays on the ship will be saved. But if they get off this ship and they take the little boats that are on the side of it, whatever it is, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be killed. Stay on the ship. Stay in the ship of your life. Stay in your ship. People have gotten off on things and gone on tangents and gone all over the place and done things that shouldn't be done. They get off of the ship that God has put before them. Stay on that ship. See, the word of the Lord is, when God speaks, he's a faithful, he was faithful to Paul. You're saying the apostle Paul was in a hurricane on a ship with 276 men, it says, or people on there. That's a big ship. Tossed around like it's nothing. They trying to get to shore anywhere they can. They throwing off everything off the ship, from the wheat to everything they had, so that it would help save them. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes in to Paul. He didn't go to anybody else, but he went to the man of God and said, "Tell these people that I will protect them, I will be with them, and I will help them. But they got to stay in the ship." My Lord. Look, God is a faithful God. He was faithful to Paul. He'll be faithful to you. Do what God says. And make sure if it's God, it will not go against his word. At all. At all. But God will keep his promises and he will be faithful to you. And it says in the end, verse 31, it says, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved." To obtain, and this is the comment, to obtain God's promises, we must abide by his conditions. My Lord, that's the problem. We want God's blessings, but we don't want the conditions of it. Oh, my Lord, don't shout too loud. Love you guys. We want the blessings of the Lord. Yes, we do. God says we're blessed by him. But the conditions of getting that blessing, if any one of those guys would get off of that ship, they would be destroyed. Even though it looked like they might be destroyed. When God speaks a promise to you, when God speaks a promise to you through his word, my Lord, we can bank on it. God says he will prosper us if we give and tithe. God will do it. God says he's a healer of our bodies. He's a healer of our bodies. You might say, well, Pastor, I've been prayed for. Go back and let him keep praying for you. Keep praying and believing God. Don't give up. How you think Paul must have felt in that ship? He said, I tried to warn them. And look, you know, remember, they were on this ship with this hurricane after days and days and days of this wind and rain and storm destroying the ship, basically beating it up against it. Then finally God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, comes unto him and says, look, tell them to stay on this ship and nothing will be destroyed. How you think Paul felt all those days when all those things were happening and he didn't know what was going to happen? Till the King of Kings shows up. Let me tell you this. In the midst of your storm, the King of Kings will show up. In the midst of going through a troubling time, the King of Kings will show up. You will know your King like you've never known him before. Sometimes we have to go through troubling times so we can see how faithful and how good and how great he is. My God, there's no one like our God. Proclaim it to the world. Proclaim it. That it's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that can do it. That can do all things except sin. He's the King and Lord and God. It says, in the end, they landed and they got on shore. God was faithful. Every one of them stayed in that boat. The first time, they didn't heed the word of God from the man of God. But I tell you, when they got in trouble and they tried to row that ship in another direction and couldn't do it and tried to get saved, and Paul comes around and says, look, the angel of the Lord came visit me last night, and this is what he told me. Everyone that stays in the ship will be saved. Look, they gravitated to him. You see, God will lift up the man of God or the woman of God in his due time, in his due season. They may have laughed the first time, but I tell you what, in the midst of it, they weren't laughing anymore. And when they heard that God spoke to Paul, they were saying, thank you, Lord. Honestly, it doesn't really say that much, but I probably think Paul might have had a salvation message for these people in the midst of that boat. Why not? One of the greatest things for me is a funeral. You might say, why? That's when people's hearts are tender towards God. I'm telling you, they're tender because they're broken. You can preach about salvation and they will receive. Weddings, they don't want to know anything about it. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know. Weddings, nobody wants to know much. They just want to get it done. That's okay. It's a celebration, you know, whatever. But I tell you what, a funeral, you have the attention of people. You have their attention. And that's when you can preach and you can say about who Jesus is. Yes, they may be lost. Yes, they may be lost, as some of them. But you can talk about how they can be reconciled with that person in the coffin, because most of the time they've given their lives to the Lord, and how one day they can be with their loved one. And Jesus Christ is the only door. I mean, it's just, they open up. I mean, the last funeral I did, like I told you, my aunt's funeral, it was awesome. I mean, in the back, they were at the end of their seats sitting, like, just give me more, give me more, give me more. And you have your limited time. You can't, you can't stay there 3 hours, you know, but they were just sapping it up, the word of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, speaking life to them and bringing the life giver to them, Jesus Christ. How faithful is he? So look, use every opportunity to lift up Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one else can bring salvation. No one else. No one else. Religion can't do it. If you want to say saints can't do it. And by the way, on the saint situation, when you give your life to the Lord, you're a saint. Amen. Didn't matter what the body of Christ or the church says. When you give your life to the Lord, God considers you a saint. A child of God, a saint of God, my Lord. That's just said and done with God. The power of God. So you can go around, you can go around and say, yeah, I'm Saint Joseph. You know, you just, I don't do that, but you know, you can. And you'd be right, really, and you know, you're saying it right. Maybe not saying it arrogantly is wrong, but you're right, but wrong motive. So amen. He is faithful to provide for us. We know Philippians 4:9, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He is faithful to save our families, as it says in Joshua 24:15, for as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. We can claim those scriptures. My Lord, you have wayward children, let me tell you, don't let the enemy beat you down on that. Because he'll try to say, oh man, they're going to die and not know him, and da da da. And look, you say, Lord, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Amen. They're going to come to the knowledge of. Now, that means you pray for them, though. But don't let the enemy torment you. That's what he does. He's a tormentor. Don't let him torment your mind or your heart about things. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, I've gone through some hard. Let me tell you, look, everybody has made some mistakes. Everybody has done some things wrong, huh? Say amen. Amen. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay. Don't let the enemy torment your mind. Don't let him torment you. You know, about, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. Look what you did. Look what you said. Look where you went. Look, you know, when you ask forgiveness, you go on with that. You go on with the Lord. You go on with him. Don't let him torment you over things that happened in the past since you become a Christian or even before that. Don't let him torment you. You know what you do? Go in Revelation, find the where it says where he will be thrown into the lake of fire. Remind him of his where he's going. You know? Yeah, you're going to go into the lake of fire. That's your destination. You know, honestly, right now, the old Lucifer, he's not even there yet. He's not in hell, y'all. He's not even there. A place that was made just for him and his and the fallen angels. He's on the earth trying to deceive God's people. Now you might say, why is God letting him do that? Well, I don't know, but that I have my reasons, but whatever. God knows what's best. It's a place of torment. And it wasn't made for human beings, but sadly to say that quite a few have made it in there. And even a lot of preachers, honestly. I heard somebody give a testimony about hell, or it was a book or something we read, and they were just talking about the many people that are there. And they said they were looking around heaven, it was torment, flesh, just being burnt to the crisp. I mean, the smell of it, the horror of it. People, not made for human beings, but without Jesus, there's no other place. And it says one person was walking around, they just happened to look because God had showed them this vision. And they were going up to this place of fire. Fire, and there were people in it. And the person would go up next to him, and he'd lift up that person by the head and say, is this the one? And they would say, no. I don't know who was saying no. I'm not sure about, you know. And they'd say, is this the one? And they let him down. No, is this the one? And then they finally got to the one. They said, is this the one? That's the one. And the person was saying, that was the preacher that led all these souls to hell because they didn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were looking for the one that did it. I tell you what, people. It's not a game that we're playing. It's not a group that we get together on Sunday just to say we met, like a golf club or a tennis club. Tennis club. I'm sorry, not tennis club. It's not coming together like that. But it's in the work of souls of people. To keep our hearts right, to let God move within our hearts and within our lives. Faithful is he. Faithful is he. Faithful is he, people. You might go through the hardest time of your life. God is a faithful God. Probably one of the hardest things ever upon the earth for a spouse would be the loss of a child. That's hard. I've I've never gone through that, but I've heard of people that have, and only God can come in and heal that hurt and help. See, all I want you to remember today is this: God is faithful. The walk of your life, no matter what, and there's pitfalls we might fall in, and things may happen, we can still say faithful is He. When the worst tragic things of our life happen to us, what we say, faithful is He. When there's no more money and whatever's happening, we all can say faithful is He. When it seems like everything's closing in, we lift both our hands and say faithful is He. Because faithful is your God. Faithful is He. We know God is faithful and He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, my Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Faithful is He, people. You might want to write that scripture, Lamentations, and put it somewhere. His mercies are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. Great is it. And look, I know we talk about a little about hard times, but I tell you, God is a good God. He's so good to us. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. He gives us life to live for. He could reconcile families. My God. Reconcile children to their parents. Reconcile parents to their children. My God, what a God we serve. Faithful is He, no matter what. No matter what's going on, the faithfulness of our God exceeds all the way to the clouds of above. My Lord, that means, look, no limit of His faithfulness. He will come through. He came through for Paul in the situation of the storm. He'll come through for us no matter what. We would declare the praises of our God to this lost and dying generation till He comes again. My Lord, amen. You may stand, please.